This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So this is what it sounds like outside our studio along Commonwealth Avenue. Footsteps of students, maybe their voices, the roar of a car passing by, the rumble of the T along those metal tracks. What else? Some voices there. Maybe you can hear an approaching siren, a bit of wind, raindrops bouncing off the pavement. There's actually a lot to hear, yet most of us pay little attention to it. We ignore it, even block it out.
But even if we come inside and close the door, even if we isolate ourselves in a quiet office, there is no such thing as silence. We are inundated with sounds, millions of sounds, and yet our brains tune into only a few of them. Why? And how do these sounds affect our brains, our minds, and our moods?
Those are some of the deep questions explored by Seth Horowitz in his new book, The Universal Sense: How Hearing Shapes the Mind. Seth Horowitz is a neuroscientist in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at Brown University. He joins us now from the studios of Rhode Island Public Radio in Providence. And Seth Horowitz, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Great to have you. So you point out something in this book that I never knew, and having worked in this sound medium for like almost my whole life, it feels like, it fascinated me. You write that plenty of animals are blind, bats, for example. Lots of animals can't smell or taste. Some have no or limited sense to touch, but there are no deaf animals. That amazed me. Why is that, and what does it tell you?
Well, first of all, I got to correct you. Bats aren't blind. They just don't rely on vision very much.
I see. Okay.
But if you think about it, sound is a very, very fast sense. You think of speed of light being something fast, but it's not biologically relevant. Sound is telling you what's going on in air at 1,000 feet per second, and it operates in total darkness, out of line of sight. It's your alarm system. It's going on around you all the time and even operates while you sleep. So it forms our world. It's understanding sound, music, speech is sort of the only math that everybody automatically gets.
It's the most universal of all senses, you write, right?
Every vertebrate actually hears. The only other sense that all vertebrates have at a standard level is the sense of balance, which is the other half of the inner ear. But it acts as all of our instant long-range warning signal, and it gives us context for everything else that's going on. So while you can pass on other sense or you can drop them out, the sense of hearing is one of the most basic and supportive ones that we can have.
So Seth, I want to play some sound that you gathered on the east side of Central Park near Museum Mile in New York City. Let's listen. So you recorded this for about 30 seconds, and you devoted an entire chapter in your book on this 30 seconds of sounds. So what did you hear? Or perhaps I should say, what could we hear if we had really, really been listening?
Well, did this recording with what's called in-ear binaural microphones, which are little microphones that fit inside your ear so that when you play it back, it's as if you're really there. And what it does is it really immerses you in what's going on. But if you had just been listening to that, it would have been a background. You would have heard a car go by. You might have heard a bird or something, but you wouldn't have paid attention to it. As you were walking, you'd be paying attention to the person you're talking with or the music you might be playing. But in 30 seconds, it took me 20 pages to describe all the little things that were warning us about environment. Sounds that there's a constant sound band up to about 2,000 hertz, sort of like the top end of where a baby's voice would be. That's the combined traffic sound. In a city, because of all the large vehicles moving along on very compressed roadways, the whole city acts as a lo-fi speaker, and it just passes that sound everywhere. Anywhere I've traveled, I've noticed that cities sound different. New York City is medium loud, so is Boston, because we have similar asphalt, similar levels of traffic. Yet when I went to Venice, which is extremely populated, you can have tens of thousands of tourists wandering around the Plaza San Marco, but it's quiet. And you have to sit and listen to realize what's missing is the traffic sound that surrounds us all the time.
So why do we, if we are bombarded with so much different sound and have the capacity to receive so much sound, it seems like we spend an awful lot of effort working really hard to block sound out, to not hear the sound that surrounds us.
Exactly. And that's why we don't usually pay attention to sound. Sound is what drives our attention to other things. This input is there at a survival level. You deal with it very, very rapidly. You're identifying sounds 100 times faster than you do visually. So you're walking down a dark alley. It's dark. You see exactly what's in front of you, but you hear a footstep behind you, and you'll stop and you'll turn around, try to figure it out, unless you recognize those footsteps. And then you just figure it's your roommate or a spouse coming up behind you. But we have to block this stuff out. Otherwise, we'd be having information flying at us at every 51,000th of a second. And you'd get overloaded very rapidly. And because this is going on all the time, for the most part, unless we dedicate ourselves to listening to something, or it's something that's very important to us, speech sound, listening to music, or knowing that something's going to happen and listening for that sound to happen, we throw it into the background. It's part of our survival. And yet, listening is an incredibly important skill.
So you mentioned listening to music, and you write a lot about the psychophysics of sound, mm-hmm. the relationship between what we hear, how we react, and how it makes us feel. So here's a lovely piece of music. It sets a mood. It evokes, what, the past, all kinds of things. But you talk about how a sound like this can actually produce physical changes in our body, that it can actually prompt neurons to release oxytocin, which makes us feel good.
Well, yeah, anything that you sense will make physical changes in your brain. There's a line in neuroscience which is beaten into graduate students: those that fire together wire together.
Hmm.
So if you have a very harmonic sound, you're going to get input that are very mathematically related, always firing at the same time. This is true in music. This is true in speech. These are the very harmonic sounds. And every time you're exposed to this harmonic sound, it makes it a little bit easier for the next firing to happen. The neurons will actually change shape and rewire themselves.
It's amazing.
It's a very basic form of learning called Hebbian learning.
Hmm. Now, on the flip side, we're listening to this lovely music by Satie, which is going away. Some sounds can make us, you write, even feel sick. Some urban noise, for example, has been linked to heart problems in people. What does that tell us about how we should be living our lives, or what's the significance of that to you?
Well, chronic exposure to loud noises is extremely stressful. Any loud noise is stressful, but if you just hear a sudden bang, you'll startle, you'll turn away from it, you'll note where it is, and you usually head the other way. But I used to live in Brooklyn, New York, and I was right by the elevated train. And being me, I had a sound level meter, and I realized that just the normal day-to-day sound level of my apartment was about 72 decibels, which is a loud conversation, or a sort of crowd, but that it was normal to me. When I moved to rural Rhode Island, all of a sudden it dropped down to about 50 decibels, and it was so quiet I couldn't sleep. I had taken the loudness and made it normal, but I was still exposed to it. And even though I was not consciously paying attention to it, loud noise is an acoustic stressor. And any kind of chronic stress has serious impact on a lot of different biochemical pathways in your body. It increases cortisol, which is a stress hormone, which can affect cardiovascular health. It can raise your blood pressure. And a lot of studies, while correlative yet very interesting and with strong effects, have shown that people who live in loud environments tend to have worse cardiovascular health. Students who are schools or near airports or loud areas tend to do worse than schools. So just the loud sound that you don't pay attention to is affecting you on a daily basis.
Seth Horowitz is a fascinating book. I wish we had more time. He's author of The Universal Sense, How Hearing Shapes the Mind. He's a professor of neuroscience at Brown University. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.